It is from Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise."
Thanks, Don. Good evening. When one reads the four gospel accounts of the criminals on the cross, it appears as though that perhaps at one time both of the criminals or the thieves on the cross may have railed or reviled Jesus. Both may have spoken something against him. But you know, when you're suffering the same with people like you, we've got three men who are nailed to a cross, three men who have been convicted as criminals, three men who are going to die. And one thing I'll never forget, the friend Ken Bentley, who Ray and I would go and see, and we tried to convince him that he needed to be baptized into the Lord's church before he died, but he would not have that. But Ken was telling me that when he served in the Navy and he was overseas in World War, well, I'm not sure, I think it was World War II, it was either that or another conflict, the Korean War, I believe it was the Korean War, that he was with some of his fellow soldiers who were shot and died. And he said, "You'd be surprised at the way people die. Some people, when they die, scream and cry and holler." And he said, "And some that you might not expect it just die quietly." And I've often wondered, I mean, I don't want to know. Of course, I plan on going either way. If you're present, just turn off your hearing aids when I go. But here's one who is literally railing Jesus, saying things he ought not to say. But you can learn something from a man who dies quietly without cursing the ones that murdered him. And it appears as though this second thief, criminal, seemed to have taken notice that there was something unusual about this man. Now, let me say this. Anybody who goes to Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43 to find a plan of salvation has missed the point of the gospel.
Amen.
This is the exception, not the rule. And I have talked to so many people, but the criminal on the cross was never baptized. Really? How do you know that? You don't know that. Because in Mark chapter 1, the Bible says that all of Judea went out to be baptized by John. This criminal dies in the land of Judea. Is it possible that he could have been baptized by John the Baptist? Yes, but I can't say he was, and I can't say he wasn't. But I can say, in this saying from the cross, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise," that is an exception under a dispensation of law and condemnation. There's the exception. Three things we want to look at tonight. Number one, we want to look at authority. We have to remember that no matter what, Jesus had the authority to do whatever he said he would do. In Matthew, in Mark, I was going to choose the Matthew account, but I decided to choose the Mark account. But turn to Mark 1 and look with me to verses 21 through 28. I really hope that my wife took notice that I gave about a 21-minute sermon this morning. Joe, you did? Well, you're not my wife. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. There are people who will come to the New Testament and they will talk about miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. But the point of the miracles is this: it proved that he had authority. Authority is the basis of Christianity. If Jesus had no authority to teach, he certainly has no authority to forgive. If he has no authority to heal, he certainly has no authority to rule in the kingdom of Christ. But he did. And so we find in Mark chapter 1 that Jesus certainly had the authority to teach. Oh, that people would listen. Yes, amen. All that good stuff. Because that, what he taught, is more important than what he did with the miracle. Now, the miracles are important because they confirm that he did have the ability and the authority, which we look at in Luke chapter 5, which is the very next passage that we're going to. Luke chapter 5. And we know the story of the man on the pallet who had four friends. And they bring him to Jesus, and they can't get through the door. There are so many people hungry to hear God's word instead of hearing what the plan of the Pharisees was. They were hungry to hear God's word, and they wanted to get in, so they dug a hole in the roof, and they lowered the man down in the middle of the crowd. Verse 19. Now, in verse 20, Jesus saw their faith and said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" You see, the point is this: only God has the authority to do that. I'm glad he does. And since Jesus is the Son of God, which means he has the like character and the like nature and the deity of God, he has that authority. Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." What's more remarkable than that man getting up and walking is the fact that God wants to forgive our sins. I believe that's even more remarkable. He wants to make sure that we get to heaven, no matter what we've done in the past. That's a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So he had the authority to teach. He also had the authority to forgive. And in Matthew 28, after the resurrection, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven, the dwelling place of God, and on earth, the dwelling place of man, the operating place of God's kingdom, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So when Jesus said what he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," he had the authority to say it. Now, no man has the authority to add to, take away from, or contradict the Word of God. That's all there is to it. And so, real Christianity, a lot of people on this earth have not seen it. They've seen the human blend, and they've seen the denominational view, but they have not seen, they have not witnessed the simplicity of New Testament Christianity that follows the pattern of the New Testament. They haven't seen it, and they don't know it. And so, no wonder when we try to talk to our friends, they already have preconceived ideas. Oh, the Church of Christ is just another denomination. Hogwash. It is the Lord's church. It is not just another denomination. It is not a denomination. It's the Lord's church. Now, secondly, we want to understand the dispensation. I know I've had some men that I've studied with, and they've said, "Oh yes, the criminal on the cross, he is our plan of salvation." And I said, "Well, are you sure you want to go back to living under the Mosaic law and offering those animal sacrifices?" And they say, "Well, what do you mean? When did the man live and die?" That's what I mean. Turn in your Bibles back to the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Jesus did talk about a lot of things. Blessed are you with all these different blessings. But when he gets down to verse 17 and following, we have to remember what Jesus was saying. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." The point is this. Jesus said, "I'm not going to abruptly end or discard the Mosaic covenant. I'm going to fulfill them. I'm going to fulfill every law, I'm going to fulfill the prophets. And after I've done that, then they will pass away." And so, when Jesus died on the cross next to that one criminal that said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," Jesus said another word. It's one word in the Greek, but in our language it is finished, which is the Greek word tetelestai, which means all has been fulfilled. So then, what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5 is that he had to fulfill the law and the prophets, and he was doing that in the process of his ministry. And only after he had fulfilled them all was it time to go to the cross in those 3 years. So what's the point? Jesus lived and died under the Mosaic covenant. And this criminal lived and died under the Mosaic covenant. And even to those people that Jesus ministered to a man with leprosy, the man said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And this comes from Luke chapter 5 again. So go back to Luke chapter 5. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That's verse 12 of Luke, the 5th chapter. The Bible says Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. But that's not the end of this rendezvous between these two men. Jesus has something else to say to him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." What's Jesus saying? You live under the law. You've been cleansed by me. Now you've got to fulfill your obligation by offering these sacrifices, showing yourself to the priest, proving that you are clean. Why? Because they were under the Mosaic law and the Levitical priesthood, which those two are intricately tied together and you cannot separate either. So there's the dispensation. Now, number three, we have to remember this is the exception, not the rule. While people will run to Luke chapter 23 and talk about the criminal on the cross, they will neglect the message after the resurrection. They will neglect the rule. And in Acts, the second chapter, the rule is this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the people were cut to the heart and said to the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There's the rule, because you'll find that rule being applied in almost word for word in almost every act of conversion throughout the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his conversion, you won't find Peter telling him to repent, but you find Cornelius believing and repenting, although it's not said. And you'll find Cornelius obeying through his belief, trusting in Jesus Christ, because he goes to the point of being baptized into Christ to have his sins washed away. That's what baptism does. Even under the Mosaic law, that was the ministry of baptism that John the Baptist was preaching. Now turn in your Bibles to Mark, the first chapter. Starting at verse 1, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." That's showing repentance. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You see, even John's was for the forgiveness of sins, but it was under the other dispensation of time. The whole Judean countryside. I wonder if that included anybody else. I wonder if the criminal was living there. He could have, but I'm not saying he was. But anybody that says he wasn't baptized is saying more than the Bible says. The Bible condemns that. And anyone who says that he was baptized by John is saying more than what the Bible says. He is condemned for that. We take to heart that the possibility was there, but he didn't have to be baptized because Jesus had the authority to forgive him. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. What a wonderful thing. But folks, this is the beginning of the gospel. It's not the completion of the gospel. To find that, we go to Acts. To find that, we go to the epistles, and we realize not one time in any of the epistles is anybody in the church told to be baptized. Have you understood that? Not once. Anytime you read of baptism, except in Ephesians chapter 4 where it says there is one baptism, anytime you read of baptism, it's always in the past tense. Because you can't be in the church until you've been baptized into the church. That makes pretty good sense to me. So what's the point? Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, will never, that passage under that dispensation with that authority will never be applied to us. We cannot look at Luke 23 and say, "There's my plan of salvation," because we don't live under the dispensation that he lived under. We don't have Jesus in person with all the authority that he had on this earth. But what we do have is we have the last will and testament of that one who said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And one more thing, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 10 and we're done. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." What's he saying? We have a new way, not the old way. And we've got to hold on to the hope of that new way, which is the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So here we are tonight. We are not saved because we're criminals that died on a cross next to Jesus. That is so far removed from us. God has made it simpler than that. Because Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized, and this is after the cross, after the conversation with the criminal on the cross, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. That seems simple enough for me. And I'm glad that I'll never have to have my hands or wrists or whatever it is that was nailed to the cross. I'll never have to physically go through that unless persecution comes and requires it. But even then, if it does, I am still not saved in the same way the criminal on the cross was saved. I'm saved a different way, because I have a Lord who has been resurrected and sits on a throne. He is known as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he said, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Is there anyone subject to that invitation tonight? Is there anyone that has a need for our prayers? Is there anyone that needs us to come alongside, as David quite often says, that we can help bear your burdens? We're glad you're here tonight. If we can assist you, we're going home not because of the criminal on the cross, but because of the resurrected Messiah. If we can help you, come while we stand and sing.